Introduce one of our own. He's fresh off the plane from Cincinnati, Ohio. WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember that show? He doesn't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he's a different generation. Cody Hugg has been a member here for many years. Started out a little rough. And then he met Alexandra and turned his life around. Praise God. Cody is in the licensing a process leading to full ordination as a Messianic teacher with the International Alliance of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues. He's going to be ordained this January at the Rabbis Conference. I'm so looking forward to laying hands on him along with the rest of the steering committee. And last month, he was sent out to Lethbridge, Canada. You probably don't even know where that is to speak. And they loved him. But I'm not sure he loves the winters coming up. So that may be... But he was in Cincinnati delivering the word this past Shabbat at Beth Messiah Congregation. I'll be seeing the senior rabbi there tomorrow. But if you'd give a warm welcome to one of our own, Cody Hugg. Cody, bring the word of God to us.
God, praise God. Yeah, we just came back from Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a lot of people were asking, you know, what the weather was out there during this time. People think that it was getting colder. We thought it was going to get colder, too. We visited there this April of this year, not as an official trip, and it was storming. I mean, it was raining. It was 40 degrees. And this was a redeemed trip. The Lord really gave us 70 degrees, 80 degrees. And then it rained when we were on the plane leaving Cincinnati. So hallelujah, praise God. There is actually a blue sky in Cincinnati. Also, there's another praise report, too. Cincinnati has at least one good Mexican food restaurant out there. All right, amen. The Lord has called it a holy place. And we know us San Diegans, we are very picky about Mexican food. And so I was just sitting here going, and you know that this is a legit, authentic Mexican food restaurant when some random employee on stilts is wearing a big robot costume with full of lights, and they dim all the lights, and they're coming in banging Mexican music. I should have brought Ada or someone, you know, Sam, to kind of translate what is going on. It was a birthday. They were dancing at our table. I was like, sure, why not? I was like, I feel like I'm in TJ. I don't know if you saw a dancing robot in TJ, but we saw a dancing robot. Okay, it wasn't, no. Pretty sure he was a mariachi on the inside. Anyway, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so this week's parsha is Parsha Noach. And before we get into the word, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kitchana B'mitzvotah V'tzivanu La'asok, B'divrei Torah, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen, B'Shem Yeshua, amen. Now, Parsha Noach, we are introduced to a man by the name of Noach, which his name is pretty easy to understand. It's only two letters in the Hebrew alphabet, Nun and Chet. So keep that in mind, lock that away. We're going to kind of play a little game of connect the dots, like last time I was up here, and we're also going to play a game of where have we heard that before as well. So get ready, we're going to play a couple games. So Noach is two letters, Nun Chet. So again, it's two letters. What are those? All right, keep that in mind. So Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, we see a very dismal beginning to this parasha. The earth is kind of not going very well. It's v'tishachet ha'aretz lifnei ha'elohim v'timalei ha'aretz chamas. The earth became corrupt, v'tishachet, before God, and the earth was filled with chamas, with lawlessness, with violence. Now, there's two words there that we're going to play, again, the game of connect the dots and also of where we have heard that before. V'tishachet, there's different ways you can spell that in Hebrew. It's corruption and chamas, violence or lawlessness. It's kind of interesting that we are seeing chamas. Yeah, interesting, right? So we go over to Matthew chapter 24. Yeshua seems to be on it, of course, as always, being the word made flesh, for nation will rise up against nation, he says. in Matthew 24, verse 7 through 13, and kingdom against kingdom. Isn't that what we're seeing right now? And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Yeah, we've been seeing that. We're in California. That's all day long with earthquakes. But all these things are only the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to persecution and will kill you. We see that in Africa a lot with a lot of believers, especially. And you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. Boy, especially on social media, if you try to say that you stand with Israel, get ready. Get ready on the comments section. Thousands of comments of people and well-meaning believers, I believe, too, have been deceived so horribly by Hasatan. We see that all the time, being attacked because of his name, being hated because of his name. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. They're seeing that too. Many false teachers, prophets will arise and lead many astray because Hamas, because lawlessness will multiply. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Amen. So we see that Yeshua says this is going to repeat. How many of us know when we're reading the word, there's a lot of repetition. Things happen. It's a full circle. It's a cycle. Things happen over and over. And I praise God for that because we get to learn from that. We get to read it and we learn from it, his wisdom. He teaches us these things because he knows these things are going to be, it's like when you drop a rock in a pond and there's multiple ripples and it just keeps going out. It's exactly what we're seeing before us right now. And we see Hamas and the propaganda, the deception, the spirit that's behind Hamas has blinded so many people all over the world. And we see the colors of Hamas as well, which is interesting. Has anyone noticed that those are all the same colors as the horses in Revelation as well? Interesting. Black, red, white, and green. All the exact same colors all over the world, all over the nation. The exact same colors of the horsemen. Anyway, Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Let's go back into the parasha. So now we see Hamas, we see corruption. We're going to see that repeated again. He says, Vayar Elohim et ha'aretz v'hinei nishchata. There's that word again, nishchata, the shechet. It's corruption. So again, a different way of saying it. He says it again. For all flesh has corrupted its ways on earth. And then in verse 13, after that, God declares he's going to destroy all flesh. But he's going to save Noah and his family, and he's going to make the world from them. So the game is, where have we heard this before? There are three key features that we see in this parasha. We see a man that is chosen out of a generation to lead the cause, the ministry of the Lord. So there's a single man that's chosen out of a group of people. The world is filled with lawlessness, and people have corrupted themselves. So there's Hamas, there's lawlessness, there's debauchery, there's corruption. People have corrupted themselves, and God declares that he's going to destroy the people. So in the Torah, where have we heard this story before? Any guesses? Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham? A little bit later on? The golden calf incident as well? In fact, the golden calf incident is one of the only places we see very starkly the exact same words being used between the two. So let's go all the way to Parsha Ki Tisa and see this connection, because we're going to pull the strings. We're going to bring it all together. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe lechred ki shichet. Ooh, there's that word again, shichet, corruption. Right, so God speaks to Moses, hurry down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Let's go a couple verses later, verse 10. Ve'ata hanicha, right? Now let me be, that my anger may blaze forth against them, and that I may destroy them and make you a great nation. So we see the exact same concept at the golden calf incident. We see that there's a single man that was chosen out from Noah. Now we got Moses. From that, there's people that have corrupted themselves. We see that at the golden calf. And then we see that God is going to destroy the people and keep Moses and his family. Exact same thing as with Noah. But the difference between the two is how they reacted. With Moses, anyone remember the story? What did Moses do when he heard what God was planning to do? Right. He has holy chutzpah to say, whoa, first of all, my people? No, that's actually your people, first and foremost. Second of all, what about your word to Abraham to make them a people? What are the people in Egypt going to think, right? Very Jewish, a very Jewish response, because he sees the statement of God, Hanichali, leave me alone, as an invitation to choose otherwise. God says, leave me alone, and he says, okay, if I leave you alone, you're going to destroy the people. Therefore, if I don't leave you alone, you might not destroy the people. It's very Jewish thinking, right? So he's like a good Jewish lawyer. I think that's something that Noah missed out on. Because when the story with Noah, what did Noah do? Nothing. He built a boat. He actually showed no compassion in any way, shape, or form for humanity. He never once interceded on their behalf. He never prayed for them on their behalf. He never called them to repentance on their behalf. He never asked God, well, what if there's 10 more other people besides my family like Abraham did? He never did any. He was quiet. He was silent. He just let God do what he needed to do. He just let it happen. In fact, in the parasha of Noach, the rabbis have noted this, that his name, Noach, Nun Chet, rest, comfort, exactly opposite of what his name was. There was no rest or comfort in the world, and neither really did he bring that either. And in fact, the only time he ever showed compassion was later on in the parasha when he released the dove the first time, and he noticed the dove had no place to land. And so the Torah specifically says he noticed it, he reached out his hand, he let the dove land on his hand, and he brought it into the ark to himself. That's the only point the Jewish sages notice he ever showed compassion, the entire parasha. Boy, isn't that true today? That's a word for me, where we treat our animals with more compassion than other humans. That's a word for my two cats that are treated like kings. They eat. You want to talk about EBT, they're going to be eating before I eat. I'm probably going to look at their chicken and pumpkin going, listen, I don't know, that's looking pretty good right now. Not organic pumpkin, but Petco brand. But boy, isn't that true? We see that in the world today. People care more about animals. They show more compassion towards animals than our fellow human being. They care more. The San Diego Zoo I used to work for, they cared more about the vulture, the birds and the eggs, but we don't care about the unborn in the womb. And so we see this exact same thing all over again. It's repeating. So let's go back to Matthew 24. Let's see how Yeshua kind of buttons this up. So again, Matthew 24, verse 12, because lawlessness will multiply, the what will grow cold? The love, the compassion. Where's the love? Where's the compassion? The love of many will grow cold. Later on in that passage, in verse 37, he says, for just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's actually teaching us something about the days of Noah. It wasn't just debauchery and eating and drinking and being merry and all these things, as he mentions too. But the root of evil, the root of violence, the root of Hamas is a lack of love. Because isn't that what the Torah is supposed to be all about, right? He says the law is summed up as love, loving God, loving others. But Noah only walked with God. That's something that the rabbis noted too. He walked with God. And that's good. Amen. He showed love for God. But he lacked one other type of love. Moses, on the other hand, showed both. He had the holy chutzpah to stand up to God when he said hanicha, which is interesting. The word hanicha in Hebrew, you see the name Noach right dead center in the middle. Nun chet. Hanicha, let me go, let me be. It's almost as if God was asking Moses, be Noah to me. Be like Noah. It's interesting that Noah's name was right in the middle of that word. Leave me alone. Hebrew doesn't have coincidences. There's a reason why Noah's name was in the middle of that. Hanicha, leave me alone. Be like Noah. Don't say anything. Just be silent. Let me do this. Let my anger go. But Yeshua says to have a different mindset. And Yeshua is not only the prophet like unto Moses, but he's greater than Moses. He shows us that compassion, love, we should have that same holy chutzpah, but even more. in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. As Yeshua came ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, when we were in Ohio, I think you guys lost weight. I gained weight on my trip. The amount of food that we ate on this trip was insane. There were houses after houses, Shabbat dinner, and then we had lunches. And then they also have a great Italian food restaurant. So amen, Baruch Hashem. Not only Mexican food, they got. So we're just eating all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, at some of these dinners, at some of these places that we're eating with people that are Jewish believers, non-Jewish believers, and they're eating unkosher food as well. There's someone eating a shrimp at the Italian restaurant. There was someone that took us back to the airport, and they were eating bacon on there, and they actually apologized to me. I said, you don't need to apologize. There's no reason to apologize. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You know how many people I know? Many people in the Messianic movement that would cause a fit if they were sitting at the exact same table, especially of a Jewish believer eating shrimp. In front of, we're supposed to have this fellowship. Now, Victor, you know the greatest way to ruin a table fellowship is to start making a fuss. Start condemning, start having lack of compassion, telling people, well, I can't eat with you. Well, what's up with Peter's vision then? I mean, come on now. I mean, I'm not going to eat it, that's fine, but you can have compassion on those around you. There's a person sitting next to me on the airplane on the way home. We were in Cincinnati. Now I'm in the middle seat. He's over here, and he's got tattoos all over. I mean, he's got this Black Widow tattoo, and all these other. It was Gothic tattoos, and he was wearing this kind of Halloween style this hoodie. And on his phone, he's looking through photos. It looks like he went to like a haunted house or some kind or horror house. I'm thinking this is the last person I want to talk to. Usually, and my wife knows, I'm not the person that strikes conversations on an airplane. I go straight to my iPad, and I put in my headphones, and I'm in la-la land. I'm in distraction. I don't like flying. But the Lord said, speak to him. He's nervous. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to say. This guy's again, there's a lot of people that wouldn't even show compassion to this man. They wouldn't show compassion to this man. I just simply said, so is Phoenix your final destination? That's it. That's all the Lord wanted me to say. That started a conversation. He's like, no, actually, Nogales. I'm going to Phoenix and then Tucson to Nogales, but I've been here since 5 in the morning, and he just had this whole story. He came to Cincinnati for the first time. This is his first time flying. He's super nervous. He, you know, and so on and so forth, and so I got to share the Lord with him of, you know, my wife and I, we went to Canada, and we, you know, we've experienced miracles, and, you know, and I told him the story I told you guys that last time, and so, you know, it's one of those moments where, yeah, he's filled with all these tattoos, and you can condemn all you want, and you can judge all you want, but when the Lord opens the door, hey, is Phoenix your final destination? Boom, that was all that needed. The Holy Spirit opened the door to just share comfort. That's all he needed in that moment. That's all he needed was comfort. He just needed someone to talk to and understand. And then we both put on our headphones after that and went to distraction land until we landed. And I just prayed that the rest of his trip was going to be safe because there was a lot of delays for him. And so I pray that he's in home and in Nogales. But anyway, so just let's button this all up. In Colossians chapter 6, verse 12 through 13, this is really the takeaway for Parsha Noach and for our lives today and onwards as well as believers in Yeshua. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in tender compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other if anyone has a grievance against one another. Just as the Lord pardoned you, so also you must pardon others. But above all these things, put on what? Yeah, put on love, which is the bond of perfect harmony. In Parsha Noach, there's a lot of things that we can learn, but there's also a lot of things to learn not to do. Is that we're in a time right now in the days of Noah, as Yeshua says in Matthew 24, but we're not called to be like Noah, as Yeshua is teaching. Yes, the days are like Noah, and it's so easy to just let things happen. Let the prophecies happen. Let all of the destruction happen. All of the wrath of God happen. Let all of it happen. But Yeshua is telling us something different. He's saying, yes, it is the days of Noah, but don't be like Noah. Don't be like Noah. Speak on behalf of the people. Lord, give me time to call for repentance. Lord, give me time so I can reach my family members who are lost, who are a sheep without a shepherd. Have compassion. That's what Yeshua is telling us, because when we let the prophecies happen and say nothing about it and do nothing about it, we are being like Noah, and we're ultimately not showing love. We're not showing compassion like we are commanded to. We are just sitting by, doing nothing. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, I just want to pray right now, Lord, for heart surgery, spiritual heart surgery over all of us. Lord, so many of us have gone through things in our lives that has caused calluses in our heart, calluses in our soul when we look at people or we see people that have tattoos of certain things or wearing certain things, or maybe they're saying certain things or even eating certain things, Lord, that it makes us not want to go anywhere near them. But Lord, help us be like you, Yeshua. When you saw the people on the shore, you had the first thing you felt when you saw them was compassion. Lord, help us have the first feeling be compassion when we see people, when we go out when we're with each other in the Oneg, when we go out into our regular lives at the grocery store, going to the organic banana section and carrot section, when we go into the airports, the DMVs, the gas stations, sitting on the plane, Lord, give us compassion. Give us the compassion. Let us not be like Noah. Give us the holy chutzpah of Moses and Yeshua that says, okay, if I leave them alone, well, what's going to happen? But if I don't leave them alone, what else could happen? Lord, give us those thoughts. If I leave them alone, what would happen? If I don't leave them alone, what would happen? And Lord, let us not leave them alone, because you don't want to leave them alone. You are the God that walks with us, before us, and you want us to go out and make disciples of all nations. So Lord, help us do that. In Yeshua's name, amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu Torah temet Yeshua meshechenu v'chaye olam natah betochenu. Baruch atah Adonai notein ha-Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth, Yeshua, our Messiah, and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Lord our God, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This young man is going to make a great messianic rabbi, teacher, and we're so glad to be part of your journey, Cody. It's a great word. As were the words last week from Dave Shirley, from Dave Dinwiddie, wow, and the Remez and the heartfelt of Dave Shirley and Victor. I haven't listened to Victor's message, and I probably won't hear his message today, but I'll try and catch up on Victor on the plane. Your final destination to Phoenix. We're down in Mexico. And that wasn't my opening line. There was another woman with her daughter there who had some throat cancer, and she was in a real bad situation. And she's talking to us about, and she owns a gym, so she had connection with Darcy, and she starts talking about all this in her life with the tarot cards and then this and then that witchcraft and this and it's part. And I just looked at Darcy, I smiled, and I said, it's on right now. And we began to share the biblical understanding of spiritual warfare and the spirits, and she was all ears. Because we're down there, we're swinging for the fences, folks. And we got a chance to pray over her. And so whatever it is in your life, whether it's your final destination to Phoenix, whatever it is, take that opening and let the Lord continue to widen that door. Thank you, Cody, for that. A lot of work put into that message.